One of the wonderful things about getting a group of people like this together to remember and honor someone's life is that you get to learn all kinds of things about the person that you didn't know. You get to fill in different parts of the story. And I learned things by listening to Reba and to Tanara that I didn't know. So we've set aside a little bit of time here because we thought some people from the community might like to get up and tell some stories or share some memories of Chuck. So I'll invite you, I don't have a long enough cord to bring this down the aisle, which I was kind of hoping to do, but if you'd like to share something, a memory, a story, something brief, you can come up and do that at this time.
It was a twinkle in his eye and the smile that held a secret that I first noticed when we met. He was watching Reba as she described guidelines for vegetarian eating. She said, "Now here's the lowdown." Chuck's eyes and smile met my own as we connected in appreciation of Reba's colorful expressions. Something clicked in that moment, and I knew that somehow we had something to do together. Not until about 10 years later would we establish a rhythm of communion that continues today. His knowledge and healing skills were vast, and when I allowed myself to hear his truth, I knew that though the messages were absolute, they were also really quite simple. Chuck was there when my world became clouded and confused and broken. He was my guide, my healer, my teacher, and my friend. He believed in me until I could begin to believe in myself. He held space for me until I could hold space for myself. His last formal words to me were, "Own your power, speak your truth." His last teachings on this plane to me were reflected in the dignity of his spirit as he allowed himself to receive during the last weeks of his life here. His energy is with me now and will remain.
I know many of you out there, and my name is Mel Duran. He was a very close friend of mine, and I was his intern. He was my practicum instructor in 1972-73 school year. Well, I think I was his greatest challenge, not as a therapist relationship, but for those of you who know me, I'm kind of at times contrary, but with mirth. So instead of telling you all the things I think about Chuck, first of all, he's been an anchor for my family, for my two daughters, my wife, my son-in-law, and also for some of my friends. They knew him through me. But I'd like to tell you a couple of stories, and I've actually changed. I've got maybe 500 stories. And I told Reba the other day, I says, "Well, I've got one that's X-rated." She says, "Well, please don't tell that in front of the group." But I am changing one of the stories because of what Reba said. Now, one time, we went on this hike. We're up in the top of some mountain, and we'd worked really hard. Chuck always wanted to go up and, you know, aerobic and all that stuff. And we sat down for lunch. And I said, "What you got in your sandwich, Chuck?" He says, "Fried tofu sandwich." And then Reba says, "Yes, but mine has salt and pepper." Well, then I reached into my bag, and out comes the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and deep into my pack at one of those large bottles of wine, not the small, skinny ones. And we had lunch. And I could go on, and I'm not going to take all your time, but if you want some more really interesting things, you can ask me. The other one I want to tell was we bought a cider press together, the four families and so forth, and every year I would bring apples back from Yakima, and we'd squeeze them as a group and have a really good time. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was, I look up and I've got a gate, and Chuck's opening the gate, and he's getting in his car, and he's leaving right in the middle of this thing. And I said to Reva, I says, "What's going on? Why is he leaving? Is he mad? What's going on?" "Oh," she says, "he's got to get those enzymes home and freeze them before they go away." And those are just a couple of the really fun times I had with Chuck. And I can honestly say I don't really remember a negative thing. And we always enjoyed his company. He was a delight. I think everything that's been said and anything else is just, it's there. And the thing I liked about him most was his openness to everything that would do good for you. And he always wanted the person he was with, he would ask them how they were and, you know, how you could progress, of course, and anything else. And he was interested in you and not so much in himself, and which is remarkable to have somebody so other involved. And I think that speaks to his spirituality.
My name is Mary, and I wanted to say I would have had the pleasure of being one of his clients, but it was a lot of hard work, and I eventually graduated. But I'm an artist, and my work centers around animals. And one of the things Chuck always said, and it's in the program, the first thing is, you know, relax like a duck on a lake at sunset. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the craziest thing I ever heard. A pat of butter on a warm piece of toast, I get, but ducks on a lake? I want to tell you, I have been collecting pictures of a duck on ducks on a lake on sunset forever, ever since I've walked away from that. Photographers love ducks on a lake at sunset. I was amazed, and I thought, okay, I get it.
Hello, I'm Tom, and I felt like Chuck was one of the greatest masters of our time. He helped my wife and my family greatly. And when I first started going to Chucky, I was dwelling in my earthly problems. And he says, you know, it was a financial thing I was talking about. He says, you know, you can't take that with you. I says, well, what can I take? And he says, there's only one thing that you can take with you when you leave here, and that's your spiritual garden. He says, you can also leave it behind with you. And he proceeded to tell me about his granddaughter, Jenna, and how beautiful her spiritual garden was when she was born. And due to earthly experiences, our earthly gardens get cluttered with all these life earthly experiences. And he taught me how to remove the brush from my earthly garden. So, and there was some flowers actually growing there in my garden. He taught me about the beauty of nature and how to take care of the earth. And he considered the entire earth, wherever he was, his garden. And he taught me how to take care of my inner self spiritually and physically. And he taught me one of the greatest gifts of all was to give to others. And my spiritual garden has grown greatly because of Dr. Chuck. What's happening inside? I don't know if any of you have heard that. Many of you probably have. But what's happening inside now is he's left us. But I look around this room and I see his manifestation of his garden here with us. And it's our duty now to carry on his experiences in our lives and to help others. And he'll live on with us forever and ever because of the experiences that he gave us on this earth. I'm so grateful to have known Chuck. I was honored, and my wife and I were greatly honored, excuse me, by being able to be with him in his last days for many, many hours. At first, he thought he was going to beat it. He really did. There was great prayers from around the world. There was great prayers with him. There was great energy.
About 6 days before his death, though, or 7 days, he left his body, went away. Then one night when I was with him, he came back. He said this. He says, "There's a grand intelligence greater than you'll ever know unless you were in my situation." And then he said it is the manifestation of God. It was pretty profound. Then he said he visited with his grandmother and his sister. At that point, he didn't say anything about beating it. I knew that the miracle was that he was blessed us with his time on this earth and that now he was going to leave us. He passed shortly after that. One thing that he asked me to do before he left was he asked me to thank all of you for all the prayers and all the generosity that you gave him in his life, and especially in his last few days when he really died at peace. One of the things that I remember mostly about him was when people would come and cry over him, he would reach his arm up with his last great energy and go, "It's okay, don't cry for me, I'll be okay." He was a profound man. What's happening inside is he's changed many of our lives. He'll be greatly missed, but he'll live with us forever.
My name is Duncan, and I haven't known Chuck for about 4 years. But sitting over there, I said, this may be my last chance to talk to this many people that knew him that well. I didn't know him that well, as certainly many of you did, but like so many people that met him, he gave us a starting point for the journey that we all sought so desperately. And I was going through my own emotional trials, and a marriage breaking up, and he gave me the gift that he gave so many of you, the ability to stand on your own feet and embrace what you did have and embrace the hope. And so I wanted to take this opportunity to thank him on behalf of myself. I know that the seeds that he had planted with me and all of you are his legacy. And that legacy is the essence of who he was. As someone has already said, very quickly he could bring you to a point where you knew the door was opening and he was giving you a leg up to get through the door. And without his leg up for me, he wouldn't give us that leg up that we could give to others. And so as things grow and compound, I think his legacy is in some fertile ground here in this room. And I want to thank all of you and thank him.
My name is Roger. I knew Chuck off and on from the Wellspring Center. And one of my jobs was to kind of help put program together. And after he and I had been in the same meetings the first or second Tuesday of every month for a while, I said, "Just what in the hell is it you do?" And he said, "Well, Roger, I've heard you talk now and then, and you seem to say that what's primary is experience. Let me write down for you some places where I'll be speaking. Why don't you come and experience what I do?" So I did. And what I remember most, at the same time I had been asked, as all of the people in my profession are, to give an odyssey, which is amongst peers, to explain how the hell you got where you are from the time you were born until the age you are. And I was faced with that as an objective. Well, back at Marlene's, Chuck is talking, and he's talking about management of eating disorders and things like that. I'm going, oh boy. And he has this picture. I can't remember whether it was of him or of a client, but it was his child. And then he had a picture later, and he was doing some comparisons. And I thought to myself, damn, that's a very interesting process. Well, I didn't think about bringing it today, but I have my picture album. Later, when I gave that Odyssey, I used visual images of myself over 50-some years. And what I discovered was, by the proper discernment of what was going on in the facial expressions and your knowledge, you could discern whether you were on your path or not. And if you weren't, you had the answers as to why not and how you could adjust and move back. And it's a great way to tell your story. Well, after I went to two or three of these sessions, he said to me, did you get what you needed? And I said, yeah, I think I did. And he said, do you understand what I do? And I said, no, I don't. But I do understand this. It doesn't matter what you do. That's irrelevant. But it's the place you do it from. And I think I understand that. And he just smiled.
My name is Daisy, and I knew Chuck in the last year and a half of his life. He is a fellow dancer that comes every Friday, and he still comes every Friday. I had a strange experience yesterday in my house. I have a drum that's in my altar room upstairs in my home, and I haven't touched it for about 4 months. And I went for a walk yesterday with my husband, leaving my dog and cat at home. And I got home last night, went upstairs, and my drum was at the head of my stairs. Now, at first I thought, oh, this crazy dog did this. But the drum was against the wall. There's a rocking chair and two baskets, and they weren't disturbed at all. So I started getting weirded out. Like, how did this happen? Nobody could have possibly done this, not my dog, not my cat. And then I heard Chuck's a drummer. So I'm like getting, okay, drums are communication in native language. And one of the last things he said to me is in the period of time that Tom was discussing, where he had left for a while and then come back, he said, Daisy, we're all connected. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, no, we're all connected. And I could see the profound simplicity of that truth in him. And the other piece that came with that he didn't say this, but it's come to me since I found my drum and got this whole piece together, is the desperate need we have for forgiveness of ourselves and each other. I mean, how truly serious are the wrongs that we perceive that have been done against us? Are they really so important that we're going to drag them around with us and stop the process of our lives and stop our growth and stop our entering into some kind of evolution and enlightenment? And I promise you, I'm not sure where this is all coming from, but it seems really important for me to say this, probably for myself more than anyone else. But it behooves us all to let go and recognize that we all do have that deep and profound connection to each other. If one is hurt, we're all hurt. And I also want to say one last thing, and it was a prayer that we did at the end of practice, which was special to him, and it is, may the one power that moves the moon move through us, and the power that lights the sun light our lives. May the source of all love and healing live forever in our hearts and radiate from us to all who cross our path. And the circle is open but forever unbroken, Chuck. Merry meet, merry part, and dear friend, merry meet again.
It's not something I'm accustomed to doing, getting up in front of large crowds. I'm Brian. I was a client Chuck. I met him about 12 years ago. I was working as a gardener and he needed my services and I needed his. I come from a dysfunctional family. My mother kind of came crazy when I was 8 years old, and I decided I needed therapy, and he helped me deal with all those issues. And like to say to Reba and Chuck's family, I'm very grateful to you folks for what Chuck has done for me. He introduced me to a lot of concepts and ideas that I didn't learn in college, y'all. Y'all, they don't. I'm 40 years old, and back when I was going to school in the 80s, you didn't really hear the term, you know, mentor. Chuck made a difference in my life. He helped me open my eyes and mind. He helped me grow up. He helped me set goals and achieve them. He helped me believe in my dreams. I want to tell you about a little experience I had with Chuck before he passed away. One of our mutual friends told me that Chuck's not well, and he only has a few days. And I inadvertently found out about Chuck through my friend, and that was on a Thursday. And I went and saw Chuck on Friday, brought him a card with eagles and some carnations, and prayed with him for love, strength, and peace in his life. And I just felt such power in that room with him. I really believe that Chuck knew God like in a way that a lot of people in a typical church don't know. Chuck really knew God deeply, and I really believe that Chuck was a very spiritual person, and I'll be forever grateful for Chuck's presence in my life. And I feel like I got a real healing being with him two times I saw him. And when I first saw Chuck, when he was sick, he was really the old Dr. Bruni, at his very best, and very, very bright and very keen. And my final comment would be is that Chuck, he faced this situation with really great grace and poise. I think that's what I think was very impressionable, that he just handled the situation with great grace and poise, and he wasn't didn't have any fear. Thank you.
It's a sad moment in our lives when we lose someone we love, that we treasure, we respect. But we have to remember the greatest joy of where he is now and the joy he's brought to all of us here. I was very honored to know Chuck through my dear friend Reba and his daughters. And all of the people in this room that have known Chuck, I feel a part of you. The greatest gift that Chuck, I think, has given to all of us is to teach us to love what is.
I didn't think I would be speaking up here, but I just wanted to say a word about Chuck. About the middle of April, he sent this email to our family. It says, and probably you've received something similar. It says, I often say to clients that any day you wake up and have a pulse and you're breathing, that's a miracle day. I really know the truth of that statement now. Almost dying makes you look at your priorities and what is really important in life. And I think Chuck, his death in some ways is like a mystery. This man who was so healthy and did all the right things suddenly was dead in about 22 days. And I think you know, that's what he was saying, and I heard that he had said that to someone else, that, you know, you need to move your spirituality to be first in your life rather than even just a part of your life. And I'll just tell you quickly, the last couple days that we visited him, which was a week before he died, well, actually, when he was in the hospital, a family friend, we asked him if he wanted to have Nicholas come and pray for him, because Nicholas had a healing ministry. And Chuck said yes. And so he came to the hospital and prayed with Chuck. And Chuck, you know, agreed what he was saying. Basically, he was talking about Jesus Christ and his dear Mother Mary. Now, Chuck had evidently a relationship with the Blessed Mother, that because when he was at our house, he would mention her name, but I never thought anything about it, really, because he, you know, he had a very broad Christianity. But anyway, when he was home a week before he died, we asked him again if he wanted Nicholas to come and pray with him, and he said yes. He just whispered yes. And so Nicholas did come again, and he asked Chuck if he wanted to consecrate his life to Jesus Christ and to the Holy Mother, and Chuck said yes. And Nicholas said, "Chuck, were you ever baptized?" And Chuck said yes, whispered yes. And Nicholas said, "Well, when were you baptized?" And Chuck said, "As a child." And Nicholas said, "Well, what denomination were you baptized as?" And he said, "Catholic." And that was very surprising to us, because our family's Catholic, you know. And so we told Chuck that, you know, if you're baptized Catholic, you can receive the last rites of the church. And would you like that? And he said, "Yes, I would." And so on Friday, Father Mike came from St. Charles and gave him the last rites of the church, which is a blessing of holy oil, and comes with that grace, the forgiveness of sin. And as you know, Chuck died about 4 days. That was on Friday, and he died about 4 days later, a very peaceful death. But his life was remarkable, and I just felt that there was a spiritual message in the way he died, in the sense that he, you know, he was so healthy, and then suddenly, like Scripture says, a thief came in the night and took your life. So it's something for us all to contemplate, not only all these wonderful things that you said about Chuck and what his life represented to all of us, but that last message was a spiritual message that he left us. So thank you.